Exquisitely the cage was wrought, with pillars carved in jade, and perches made of ivory, all beautifully inlaid, with semi-precious stones and pearl that glittered in the light, reflected off the marble floor, a truly royal sight. She saw it through the doorway as she passed by on the street, standing in the corner of the shop that sold antiques. She went inside and said,
"My man, that cage is very nice. Tell me, where's it come from? And what is the price?"
"The Queen of Sheba owned it once,"
the man replied with haste.
"A very fair and fine antique for people who've got taste. A bit of polish here and there will bring it up a treat. But don't forget the bird inside. He needs to eat."
She took it home that very day and placed it in the hall, beside the walnut writing desk that stood against the wall. It sparkled as the evening sun shone through the open door, for she'd washed it down and polished it until her arms were sore.
"Feed me,"
sang the bird.
"Please,"
he cried. But the lady only saw the cage and not the bird inside. That night, when she retired to bed, she dreamt of royal cages, the kind enjoyed by kings and queens and princes through the ages. She dreamt of Chinese mandarins, of rajas, and of sheiks. But no one had a cage to match her newly found antique. When at last the sun arose, she woke up from her sleep. And though she wasn't washed or dressed, she ran down to take a peep, and stood there in the hallway gazing at her new possession. But didn't hear the plaintive call, so great was her obsession.
"Feed me,"
called the bird.
"Please,"
he cried. But the lady only saw the cage and not the bird inside. She thought a party would be nice,
yes,
in honor of the cage. So going through her address book, she went from page to page, inviting all the people whom she wanted to impress to come for tea on Saturday in formal evening dress. She hardly could contain herself while sending out the cards. Thinking curtains would be nice, she purchased several yards of silk brocade to make the cage more beautiful than ever, and stayed up sewing all night long, so great was her endeavor.
"Feed me,"
begged the bird.
"Please,"
he cried. But the lady only saw the cage and not the bird inside. On Thursday night, she started making all the preparations, from currant buns to angel cakes, in great anticipation of all the guests who said they'd come to see the new antique, the vicar, Mrs. Balderdash, and all her social clique. She cleaned the cage on Friday till it sparkled like a pin, but never saw the starving bird who begged for food within. And then, forgotten far too long, he tumbled from his perch.
What was that?
Yet managed with his dying breath a final feeble chirp.
"Feed me,"
implored the bird. He cried. And then, without another word, he breathed his last and died. On Saturday, she cleaned the cage and polished it with pride, quite unaware the bird was dead and lying there inside. But by the time the doorbell rang, the smell was growing strong. She thought,
"Although I've cleaned the cage, there's something very wrong."
In twos and threes, the guests arrived and gathered in the hall, all around the polished bird cage where it stood against the wall.
"Oh, thank you."
Just then, an unknown guest arrived, without an invitation. His shaven head and flowing robes a cause of consternation. A lady dropped her sandwiches. The vicar spilled his tea. Then the guest began to speak with utmost gravity. And one by one, they all agreed it really was absurd. For only one devoid of sense could fail to see the bird. Shocked at her short-sightedness, they asked,
"Why have you never thought to give the bird some food?"
Inquiring,
"Is it clever to only see the cage and not the bird who lives within?"
"You've killed it with your negligence."
"It really is a sin."
"The cage, my dear, is very nice, as anyone can see, and shouldn't be neglected by the likes of you and me. But what a dreadful thing you've done! So foolish and absurd, to think the cage is everything and never feed the bird.
So great was her embarrassment, she tried to run and hide, but slipped upon the Persian rug and fell upon her side into the antique birdcage, which then toppled to the floor and broke into 1,000 pieces, some say even more.
Poor dear.
Exquisitely that cage was wrought, with pillars carved in jade, and perches made of ivory, all beautifully inlaid, with semi-precious stones and pearl that glittered in the light, until it smashed upon the floor, no more a royal sight. Don't think this body all in all, and starve the soul inside, and waste the chance of human life, misled by foolish pride.
Can I take your order, sir?
What kind of soup have you got?
We have beef broth and primordial.
What?
Beef broth and primordial soup.
What's in the primordial?
Just your basic soup. It's got amino acid noodles.
Could you find out for
and
sure?
And it's got some...
I'm a vegetarian.
Well, the chef doesn't make the primordial.
Well, if it's from a can, I don't
want... No, it's not from a can, sir. I don't know who makes it. Just there every morning.
Well, somebody must make it.
I know somebody must make it, but I don't know who. We just come in every morning, it's made. Anyway, we sell a lot of it. People like it. Kids from the college practically finish off the whole batch every lunch rush.
You mean to tell me that nobody knows who makes the primordial soup?
Now, what would you like to order?
Skip the soup. What's your special for
the
day?
Have you tried our missing link sausages?
Forget it.
It's from the famous Piltdown recipe. You'll love it.
Forget it.
Gloria, what seems to be the trouble with this fellow?
Well, some people just can't buy our primordial soup.
Don't worry, as long as they're in the minority, we'll be all right.
Primordial soup. Nobody makes it.
Hello, friends. This is J.B. Hunter. Are you tired of driving around all day trying to find a house to move into? Well, you find the right house, but the neighborhood is filled with all sorts of strange people. You just couldn't stand living by them. And then, on the other hand, you may find the perfect location, but the house is a complete dump. The doors slam, the faucets leak. You don't like the fact that there's no light coming in from the windows, or there are no windows at all in the house. Well, we've got the problem solved. Using theories of how the universe was designed and constructed, formed by Albert Einstein in the latter part of the 20th century, new Big Bang Apartments has now revolutionized house finding. You don't have to find the house anymore. You just find a vacant lot, any place where it's clear. You look and decide that's where you want to live, and you move in the very next day. That's right, the very next day. We take all the building materials, you can select your favorite colors and designs, we place everything in the open spot, and then we add our own main ingredient, which of course is dynamite. Invented by the Nobel people who give out that Nobel Prize every year. And we literally blow your house into existence, just like our universe was formed. We form to a living spot. And if it doesn't work the first time, well, don't worry. We'll keep blowing it up until you have a house standing there before you. That's how our universe was formed, and that's how we'll help you move into your new home. So drop down today to Big Bang Apartments. We're really looking forward to helping you. It worked for the universe. Why not let it work for yourself?
manivedana suna vishayi durjana sada kamarata kichunai moraguna kichunai moraguna kopina. Gopinath, amara barasa tumi, tomara charane lohimu sarana, tomara kinkoruami, tomara kinkoruami, tomara kinkoruami, Gopinath. Chadamati, Purichi Samsarga, Purichi Samsarga, Purichi Samsarga, Gopina. Gopinath,
Manifesto of Consciousness. This is Radio Ram.
If you would like to understand more about the themes presented in our show, write for your free booklet to Radio Ram, Box 206, Visalia, California. You are listening to the sounds of the Santur. A multi-stringed instrument, tapped with tiny hammers, used in Indian music, a mood of peace. The word santur finds its origin in the ancient Sanskrit language, from the word santa, which means peace or saint. Every year at Christmas, we hear this word, santa, but more often than not, the word is connected to a chaotic frenzy of impulse buying, conceived and manipulated by greedy corporate psychologists. This year, why not put the peace back into Santa? The science of meditation and mantras has puzzled and intrigued mankind for centuries. Techniques used in almost every religious tradition are still being practiced today by millions. Mantra yoga is a means of centering one's consciousness on sound vibrations. Mantras are never for sale, and they are usually commonly known, not secret. As a service for our listeners, Radio ROM now presents Audio Medicine, a weekly feature to help you transcend. This week, a mantra from the Bhagavad Purana, entitled Invocation. Radio Ram now presents Audio Medicine. We are living graves of murdered beasts, slaughtered to satisfy our appetites. We never pause to wonder at our feasts, if animals, like men, could possibly have rights. We pray on Sunday that we may have light to guide our footsteps on the paths we tread. We are sick of war. We do not want to fight, yet we gorge ourselves upon the dead. Like carrion crows, we live and feed on meat. In this way, we treat defenseless animals for sport or gain. How can we hope in this world to attain the peace we say we are so anxious for? We pray for it to God over the piles of the newly slain. And so cruelty begets her offspring, war.
Before Before you came, oh Prabhupada, our lives had gone to hell. Without a chance of recompense, where each of us would sell his heart and soul for fleeting gain, bewitched by Kali's grin, yet shackled by our own desire to lead a life of sin, a life of sin. Before you came, O Prabhupada, our empty lives were wasted. An endless chain of birth and death was all we'd ever tasted. The bitter juice of Maya's fruits had burnt our hearts like fire. But then you came and brought us back to life by your desire, your desire. Vaikuntha man in saffron cloth with skin like molten gold, you strode into our frozen lives and melted hearts grown cold. You simply preached the Yuga Dharma Lord Chaitanya gave. Just chant the holy name and dance, there is no other way, no other way. No other way. And no one gave as much as you, nor will they ever give. You built a house of touchstone in which all the world can live. No one gave as much as you, nor will they ever give. You built a house of touchstone in which all the world can live. The world can live. The world can live. The prophecy of Lord Chaitanya you fulfilled alone. In 10 remaining years of life, far from your native home, you smashed the words of hollow fools who gathered in defiance of common sense, who killed the soul in name of modern science. You broke the teeth of Mayavadis, charlatan gurus, and all who pose as men of God but never have a clue. You founded temples, Gurukula, farms and BBT, translated almost 40 books for all humanity. You gave us Sri Sri Radha Krishna, taught us how to cook, and showed us how to preach like you and distribute your books, your precious books, your precious books. And no one gave as much as you, nor will they ever give. You built a house of touchstone in which all the world can live. No one gave as much as you, nor will they ever give. You built a house of touchstone in which all the world can live. The world can live. The world can live. So warm your voice, so sweet your glance, you smell the sandalwood. You brought Vrindavan's loving mood where'er you walked or stood. But guiding us, you sometimes changed from rose to thunderbolt, and showed the kind of mercy that would wake us with a jolt. I couldn't, the pastimes lay beyond the sight of shallow fools, yet by your kindness even we were drowned in blissful pools of nectar talks on morning walks and visits to your room, quite unaware that you would leave your ISKCON all too soon. This outer dress of bone and flesh is bound to meet destruction, but I will never leave the one who follows my instruction. How much you all cooperate will show your love for me. And you left us in Vrindavan Dham in deepest ecstasy, ecstasy. ecstasy. And no one gave as much as you, nor will they ever give. You built a house of touchstone in which all the world can live. No one gave as much as you, nor will they ever give. You built a house of touchstone in which all the world can live. The world can live. The world can live. Oh Master, Srila Prabhupada, our shelter and our guide, please help us try to spread your sacred mission far and wide. Please help us try to see ourselves as really very small, dependent on yourself and Krishna, lest we slip and fall and lose the precious vision you so freely handed down. That God Himself is with us in the form of sacred sound. His holy name, unlimited, transcends all time and space, but only by your mercy we receive His divine grace, His divine grace, His divine grace. And no one gave as much as you, nor will they ever give. You built a house of touchstone in which all the world can live. No one gave as much as you, nor will they ever give. You built a house of touchstone in which all the world can live. The world can live. The world can live. Yet some may feel that now you're gone, there's no one left in charge to carry on your lifetime's work and save the world at large. And some may try to twist your words for selfish motivation, to lose themselves and all they sway in mental speculation. Some may think we know the score, the others have no clue. We'll force our views upon the rest, for we're the chosen few. Yet some may break the fourfold vows and do forbidden acts, until the mighty force of time uncovers all the facts. Some may take your opulence and use it as their own, until they see their foolish ways or find themselves alone. Yet some may follow others who have questioned your decision, and so deny themselves the chance of Lord Chaitanya's vision. Some may preach that all is one, that he's as good as you, until he's turned to mouse again by you, Jagadguru. While some may only see the faults and simply criticize the ones who do your preaching work with self-surrendered lies. Some may feel that all is lost and leave your risk on mission, quite unaware that you're still here to heal all cracks and chisms. While some may feel that, lost from sight, you're ever out of reach, but they should know you're always with the one who strives to preach. Wise men fear to speculate, but know just where to look, for everything you have to say is written in your books. The books to last 10,000 years, 400 generations, the golden age of Lord Chaitanya, built on your foundation, your foundation, your foundation. And no one gave as much as you, nor will they ever give. You built a house of touchstone in which all the world can live. No one gave as much as you, nor will they ever give. You built a house of touchstone in which all the world can live. No one gave as much as you, nor will they ever give. You built a house of touchstone in which all the world can live, the world can live, the world can live, the world can live.
Chose to come to Italy for our 25th wedding anniversary.
Well, dear, I still think we should have gone to Blackpool instead.
Oh,
you know where you are with the people there, and it would have saved me a fair bit of heartache.
Oh, Harry, you're such a stick in the mud sometimes. I love it here. The people, the architecture, the operas. How did it go again? Oh, yes. Figaro, Figaro.
I could figure it out myself.
Oh, Harry. Aren't you hungry, darling? I'm quite peckish.
Well, taking into consideration, you haven't had anything to eat since you threw up on the plate.
Oh, don't remind me. Where shall we go?
I wouldn't mind to have a real made Italian pizza.
Oh, how boring. Let us go to...
Not to them one big expensive places I saw in the city centre. They're too crowded. And they cost a fortune.
Pardon?
Let's settle for a modest and obscure cafe in a back street.
Modest and obscure?
Hopefully it won't be such a
ripoff. Oh, where there'll be just the two of us. Oh, Harry, it was none of your romantic charm.
Yes, just the two of us. Come on then, let's have a scout about.
Listen, music. It's coming from that alleyway. I bet it's a traditional Italian restaurant. Just the kind we're looking for.
No, it's them. Those people get everywhere. Let's go.
Oh, I think they look so exotic, Harry. You'll be so happy. Please, this is invitazione for our Sunday feast. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Oh, they invite us for a feast. Shall we?
No.
I think so.
Oh, look, there's a restaurant.
What does it say in the window? Caffè Concordiano?
Caffè Concordiano. Caffè Concordiano. Looking at the state of the place, I'm not surprised at the name. I don't think we can eat here anyway.
Look, underneath Caffè Concordiano, it says, Orso Ristorante. Oh, Harry, let's explore. Let's do something daring for once.
All right, dear. I don't believe it. If I'm not mistaken, Felicity, it would appear there's a monkey working here as a waiter.
Oh, how exotic! Oh, look! He's running into the kitchen over there.
No, he's coming back.
Goodness! That's not a monkey. That's a Neanderthal.
Don't worry, dear. He's going away. Come on, love, let's go.
Yes. Who knows what will come out of that kitchen next?
The door seems to be jammed.
Someone's coming. Hurry.
Signore. Signorine. Where are you going? Come. Bienvenuto. Welcome to my beautiful restaurant.
Excuse me, but what's been going on? Was that you, dressed up in a monkey suit and the... what's it called again?
A Neanderthal, I think!
Yeah, a Neanderthal. Frightened the life out of us, you did.
Excuse me. I have a minor identity problem. Split personality. No need to worry. Now, please, take a seat.
Where to?
Please, sit, signora, signorina. Here is the menu. One for you, and one for the lady.
Thank you.
I'm not sure if we've chosen the right place. I mean...
Oh, Harry! Stop being so fussy! We're here now! So just be satisfied and don't embarrass me like you usually do.
And have you decided, signora, signorina?
I like the sound of this! Missing link spaghetti hoops. I'll try that. What about you, Harry?
For starters, I'll get my taste buds going with the primordial soup. Then I'll go for the evolution pie.
Mamma mia, what a lovely choice. May I also recommend our dish of the day, our sister surprise, the Big Bang Casserole.
Oh, I would like that.
Very good. An excellent choice. So it's one primordial soup, one pie evolution.
Yes.
The missing link spaghetti oops for the lady. And two today's special, the Big Bang Casserole.
Oh, this is so exciting.
Uno minuto.
Here we are inside a typical Italian restaurant. I'm really looking forward to my hoops, and that's for the Big Bang Casserole.
I hope it's not one of those places we have to wait about 6 hours for something.
Voilà, monsieur. Your primordial soup as you order.
Oh, nice one. It looks great. Wait a minute. You were Italian a moment ago, weren't you?
Mais non. I'm French. This is an Euro Café, monsieur. I'm just following the new legislation from Brussels. Every good Euro Café must have at least 3 employees from the other European countries.
But you're the same lad with a false moustache and a beret, talking with a French accent.
We look alike, monsieur. Bon appétit.
Strange character.
No.
Anyway, I'm starving for this today.
Me too.
Now let's sample this primordial soup.
Oh,
it's disgusting!
Oh!
Gacon!
Gasson!
Yeah. Gasson!
Oui, monsieur. How can I help you?
This soup is disgusting.
Oh,
disgusting?
Yes, I've never tasted anything so bad in my life.
Oh, c'est impossible.
I can't eat this. Oh. What's it made of?
It's a recipe of the house, monsieur. Amino acid noodles.
Uh-huh.
Amino acid? I demand to see the chef right here, right now.
There is no chef, monsieur.
What are you talking about?
Well, I just walked into the kitchen, and there it was.
Huh?
All prepared and ready.
What? Things don't appear by magic, lad. They need a chef, a creator, a designer, someone to put the ingredients together and that. Do you think I'm stupid or something? I'm a fully grown man. I don't believe in fairy tales no more.
Harry, calm down.
Oh.
We'll try the next course if that's all right.
Nothing, madam.
Is he taking me for a ride? Or am I going completely mad? Tell me, love.
He is a little strange.
A little?
But I do feel you're overreacting. Let's just try and forget about it and enjoy our holiday.
But if I'm paying good money for a bite to eat, I expect quality felicity. Consistency.
Shh. He's coming back. Oh no, it smells.
It's him. He's just dressed differently. He's weird.
One evolution pie for Herr Harry.
und der Missing Link Spaghetti Hoops für die Fräulein. Bitte sehr.
I don't believe it. Now he thinks she's German. A confused waiter if ever there was one.
Oh dear.
Anyway, my evolution pie. Wait a minute. This is no pie, lad.
Oh.
This, my friend, is a lump of common old garden uncut dough. And I should know, my father was a baker for 80 years.
This is kind dough. This is an evolution pie. Gradually it changes, step by step, into an elaborate and appetizing meal.
Oh, I see. I should have known. And in the meantime, I'm supposed to sit here and twiddle my thumbs until it miraculously evolves as if that jumps.
Exactly.
But I don't think so. Things in this world don't get more complex by chance.
You have to be patient. These things take time. At the moment, you are being extremely obnoxious, which is typical of you English, if you don't mind me saying.
Oh, yeah. Come on, then. Come on.
Oh,
do you want to see my fist miraculously evolve into your face?
Oh, Harry!
All I'm asking is that you have a little faith. Give it a chance. Peter.
Hang on a second. Come, it is changing.
Huh?
Evolving like magic.
What?
As if by chance.
Really?
Aye. Come and have a closer look.
Hmm.
That's it. Closer.
Hmm?
Closer. Evolution pie. I ask you, you can't fool me. I believe in hard evidence, me, not some speculation. What about my wife's missing link spaghetti?
Yes!
You've just given her an empty plate.
Right.
I should have gone. I'm sorry. I looked everywhere, but I could not find them.
Now I've heard it all. The missing link spaghetti oops. Don't tell me. They're missing, aren't they? I should have known.
Gaston!
Fritz, Fräulein.
Fritz! Fritz! I think we'll try the Big Bang casserole now.
Sehr gut. Ein Moment.
Harry! Sit down. Sit down and calm down. I'm sure the dish of the day will be just scrumptious.
I hope so. It had better be very convincing if it's going to make up for the previous disappointments.
Oh,
primordial soup.
Oh,
evolution pie.
Oh.
Missing link spaghetti.
Oh.
I ask you.
You really shouldn't have pushed his face in the dough. That wasn't necessary.
Look at him now.
The flowers that bloom in the spring, tra-la, bring
good
promise
day,
of
old chap. Got you a spiffing dish here.
Yeah.
The Big Bang casserole, no less. Everyone ready?
Yes.
Yes.
And a one. And a two. And a jolly good three. Bang!
Oh, my dress! My dress!
I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say.
Dear.
I'm a saddened man. A saddened man.
I was simply following the instructions in the book. Look here, old throat. Here's the recipe. See for yourself.
Let's see. The Charles Darwin specialty. The Big Bang casserole in three easy steps. One. Simply put all ingredients together. Two. Heat thoroughly at a million degrees until the oven is shaking. Three. Then with a big bang, the casserole is served randomly into air.
You see?
But it didn't work, did
no.
it?
Maybe I missed something out.
You'll be missing something in a minute. I've had enough. I've had it up to here with your cafe concoctione or whatever you call it. Do you really expect anyone to stomach your evolution pie? Do you reckon you'll ever find the missing link spaghetti oops? Do you people really swallow your primordial soup? Can we plausibly digest the Big Bang casserole? I don't think so.
No.
You're cheating the general public and insulting the intelligence of the common man.
Yes.
We have none more of this clapjack, shall we? Come on, Felicity.
Let's go.
Ha! Cheetah!
But sir, sir, come back. The recipes must be right, because that's what we always been taught.
Goodness gracious. I'm glad most people are more gullible. Otherwise, I have to close this place down. Davy.
Benedict and the League of Devotees would like to thank our listeners for joining us on Radio ROM. The League of Devotees is a non-profit communications project composed of individuals who are concerned with presenting non-sectarian, metaphysical thoughts over the airwaves. Sound cannot be seen, but its effect on our consciousness is overwhelming, yet often subliminal. It is our desire to present thought-provoking entertainment concepts that will illuminate our fellow man on the path toward enlightenment, peace, simple living, and high thinking. We are extremely interested to hear from you, our listeners. If you have time, please write to us with your commentary and questions. Radio ROM is a non-profit organization, so we are dependent on our listeners for support. If you would like to assist us in any way, small or large, write to Radio ROM, Box 206, Visalia, California, zip code 93278. All donations are tax deductible. Thank you very much.